Listener warning, everything about this podcast is offensive and often stupid.
Guys, games, and beers! Basement. It's the best damn podcast there ever was. Guys, games, and beer! Yay! Okay, we got important topics covered today.
Great topics tonight.
Namely this beer.
Oh, well, this beer's a good one to cover, too, because today is Fat Tuesday, guys.
Yay!
Fat Catholic!
So in honor of Fat Tuesday, we are going to do a New Orleans beer-based beer. This is something called Andy Gator.
Your beer's bubbling.
Suck your foam, dude!
And I did that. I got all over.
Man. Hell's Doppelbach. It's an old brewery by the looks of it. Founded in 1986. That's pretty good for a.
It just has black and white pictures.
For
yeah.
that. But I mean, 1986 for a craft brew is not bad. So, but they are based where are they based out of again?
That one place.
New Orleans.
So like all their
yeah. You just said it.
That Lagers, ales,
the giant Mardi Gras city.
And Abita Springs. Right? They use Abita Springs water. Evidently, that's why they get the other name for the beer, which is Abita, which is the actual brewing company.
Sorry,
or they get it from the name of the town they're in.
Well, there's like a natural spring or something that they use for the.
So it's a town named after the spring, and the water is named after this town that the spring is located.
Something like that. So this is a Hell's Doppelbach. Let's give it a try.
Turkey cat jerky.
Ooh.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it worth the $12?
Yeah, you know, not a cheap beer, but yeah, but I'm thinking.
Beer.
I'm thinking that's a pretty damn delicious
nice,
beer.
Nice, middle of the road.
And 8% alcohol by volume.
So wow,
it's
oh, really?
It's got a kick.
You know, you don't taste the kick.
Got a lot of flavors to it.
No.
Got a lot of flavors to it. You know.
Yeah.
It's very rich. It's good though.
Yeah,
it's very, very rich.
That's a darn good beer.
It's almost like the chocolate cheesecake.
Almost
beers.
In line with like a good like really German style beer, almost.
Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance you can get this
the alcohol.
Most places. Mm-hmm. You know, I have seen this company in New York. And in Ohio, and then now you bought it.
Well,
in
I mean, they've been around since the 80s. So,
yeah,
I mean, they got to be doing something.
Well, sometimes they don't always get the reach.
But it looks like they do. So, that's really good. It's got, you know, a little hoppiness. You can taste a little hoppiness in there. It's got a little sweetness. Almost a chocolate.
I could cook this with like a Cajun shrimp.
Well, you know, oddly enough, funny you should say that.
Is there a recipe?
They literally mentioned goes great with shrimp. Like you said,
wow.
It would be good with a Cajun shrimp. Yes.
That would be really good.
What do you think, guys?
What about some dirty rice?
After last week's emergency.
Last week. I say everybody likes their beer, so nobody needs me to finish it.
Yeah, nobody's going to need to finish this one, I'm afraid.
Candy Gator.
So, yeah.
Okay. Tastes great. Gets you drunk.
Yeah.
I like it.
8%. Yeah. It's gonna get you drunk.
I would shake Andy Gator's hand.
I'd shake his weenie.
It'd be really hard to get kind of
you
reach up
in
there.
You would put your pee in its V?
I'm willing to put on effort.
Okay.
Just wait, don't Gators have two of them?
Anyway.
Oh,
no, they're twisty tied. No, that's pigs.
Whoa, stop! All right, so let's get off of penises. Let's get off of penises.
Anyway.
Ben, get off.
Phrasing, Tom.
Nope.
Phrasing.
Nope.
Phrasing, Tom.
Before the show even started, he was on the topic.
I know. All right, so what is our real topic tonight?
Our first topic for the night is old games and systems. Can they still be fun? Or is it a bunch of overblown bullcrap? This idea came to me, number one, because of my changed Atari playing habits over the years. And number two, I can't remember the second. What the hell?
You were sitting on the can,
ago.
Dude. Just thinking about
Should I just go in the restroom and...
Yeah, just sit
maybe if I can recreate the moment. It's the market. The video game market has been starting to... The retro gaming market is starting to...
Decline
a little bit.
Thing.
Yeah,
which is
a
good thing for us who have been in there for a long time.
Yeah, and we'll stay in there. Exactly it.
Wait, phrasing.
People realize they couldn't make money
off the backtracks market.
Yeah,
they realized they couldn't make good money off of it, and they were like, ah. So now
it does take like a basement.
So you're saying that there was a false market based on
it was a bubble
finding the treasure.
Yeah,
and
everybody thought they had valuable shit, and it was like, no.
Yeah, no,
there's a lot of crazy crap out there. I mean, Atari 2600s for like $500. Not even a heavy sixer, folks. I mean, unless it's autographed by Billy Mitchell.
But it seems to me, I mean, there's always going to be.
I just think that's
one of those games that are ones that are. Yeah, that's always going to be.
Yeah.
There are real.
But there are ones that it seems like people just go back to time and time again, all the time.
Well, yeah. And the problem, even today, I saw an N64 for $100. It's like, really? Who's going to pay $100 for an N64?
When you first bought it, it was $100.
Well,
wait a minute. Maybe there's that one dude out there. Who's stupid enough to buy it for $100. Next week, he's probably going to post it for $50.
But, you know, cost aside, I guess. You know, the question is, can old games be fun?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think there's clear that there's certain games that have staying power that have been around. And I think they're usually... They're reflected in their price, so you can, you know.
No,
but not always.
Sometimes you just buy a lot of old. There. Right, exactly. Let's go back to Polar Rescue. Sucky game, worth a fucking fortune because it sucked so bad nobody bought it.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, that's supply versus demand. That's a different type of rarity or like why something's expensive.
Right.
But I mean, obviously, you have games that were very common, you know, the Zeldas and shit.
Yeah, that's what mass produced. Zelda,
but everybody wants a copy, so there's less to sell around. I had this really interesting thing that I kind of heard is basically like when it came to like collecting and stuff. Like I understand why a lot of people. For a lot of them, like, the first things like that Nintendo era, the mid-80s. Basically, I think there are definitely two parts to, like, oh, hey, this retro game is fun. There's the nostalgic factor, like, this is something you remember playing when you were a kid, or something you know, tie to a specific memory, or something you really enjoyed at that time, or it's kind of like a review piece. And I think a lot of it has to do, and I know this is kind of a weird point to make, but with graphics. And I think that as technology progressed along... Progressing from when you had a simple, very little sprite, when you were like just a dot going around a dungeon, to actual pixels that had a character, or something you could attach feelings to storylines in early Final Fantasy games, to, you know, as things kind of progressed, games kind of took on more and more things that connected us as humans to digital things, like storyline and characters with...
Well, I mean, Zelda would be an example.
And an emotional reaction to those games because of that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it... A lot of the people have emotional reaction to older games, you know, the Ataris, the Vectrexes, and things like that, but I think it was more of external things, like, I was a child at this time, and, you know, this is the first system I got, rather than the game itself.
Okay, I don't think that's the case. I think there are games that you play that are still just as fun as when they came out, not because of the retro.
You know what I think? Go ahead.
No, continue.
Well, I was thinking, I think a game that was well-written to begin with, had good mechanics and control to begin with, is going to see a long life of fun.
Playability.
Yeah.
Where it's just as playable today as it was back then.
I'm not saying that there aren't games out there, but I mean, like, you know, game can be very simple and have great mechanics and be very popular. Like, I mean, think about, like, games like Angry Birds, Doodle Jump, things like that. There are games that got a lot of people hooked, but they were stupid for getting Flappy Bird. Come on. I mean, like, there were games that had very simple mechanics.
I love that damn game.
But, I mean, they definitely had something that really, really tied to people. And there's a lot to be said with a game that's really easy to pick up. But I think that games really, like, and I don't think those kind of games, like, draw back nearly as much as something... That has a little more complexity to it.
That does bring up the point. So, what brings it back to a game? Is it the mechanics, the gameplay itself, or is it the emotional attachment to that game? So, what are you going back for? Are you going back for, like you're saying, emotional?
I think a game needs good mechanics to be even playable and, like, something that you want to trek through or anything like that. Well, and I think over time, that builds into something that you kind of emotionally start to attach yourself to.
I guess... I understand that element, but I really think something that's well done will still be fun. Now, we've talked a lot about Vectrexes.
Yes.
I never owned a Vectrex. I don't have an attachment to a Vectrex, in the past. But I've played it, and and I enjoy it a lot, and it's something I can go to and play, and it's the Minesweeper I play all the time. And it's just a really fun, quick hitting game that I really just enjoy. But I didn't have that nostalgia or anything
to it. It had nothing to do with nostalgia. You played the game.
I'm going to have to say most of us are outliers in the way that we choose games, though. If you think about how like a regular person chooses like a game versus how like a collector or somebody who like appreciates like a little more history about things, there are some people who are more adventurous than others when it comes to choosing games, but like I don't see a lot of outside people outside of you got to know the Vectrex because other people you knew had a Vectrex. Like, you got to see it, you got to play it. You can realize those things are fun and appreciate them. But if you think about it, the Vectrex people are, they're a very smaller community. You don't see a lot of people outside the Vectrex community like, oh, hey, yeah, I know about this thing, it's cool. It's either, oh, yeah, I know this thing, I love it, I have one, or you don't know it at all.
Yeah, what is this weird black box thing?
Yeah.
That's true. That's very true.
I think with Atari. Well, I've been playing Atari since the Atari was the king of home gaming, but my patterns have changed. I don't really play for nostalgia very much. Honestly, there's not games I'm very nostalgic about. I don't have time. Honestly, in my gaming life, I don't have time to relive anything that I don't absolutely love for the sake of the game. And what I have found though is an Atari game which used to take my whole day. I'd spend a whole day of playing Atari. I'm not going to do that. Mm. On the outside, I will spend an hour on something that's really interesting to me on the Atari. Spider Fighter. I'll knock out an hour on that every once in a while. I'll just come down here and
I was thinking like
kick its ass
minutes.
For a while just to say, hey, boy, still got it. And then hey, Joel, come here, play this game. I'll fuck them all up. And then I'll and it'll like basically pummel me and everything else for the rest of the night, but I can feel good about that one thing.
Yeah, I would say that one game up, is when you would, like, demolish him and be like, yeah, I'm the boss.
Yeah, like, outlaw, man. Just be like, ha ha, one button, bitch.
Yeah.
See, I have that thing, too, but, like, or my dad did with, like, Mario Golf, but then I got really good at it. I used to play it all the time.
Yeah, like, the training montage going, like, he's gonna get better to, like, fucking beat the champ. And, like,
dad... Yeah, basically it was just like I'm gonna beat him one day, and then like I did, and he got really pissed off when we were playing Mario Golf one day.
Mother effer!
Which is exactly. He was like,
that's
son
a kid's
of dude, a
though.
Bitch.
You guys are a bunch of little bastards.
There was times that, like I had a PS3 at that time, and like I had the big like whole game set up in my bedroom back when I was living at my parents' house, and like I had the Nintendo set up, so I'd pop it in and just play it a little bit, and then it was just like, man, I forgot how fun this game was. See, I'm going to keep going.
from the parents' point of view, you're sitting there at work making money so your kid can sit there to kick your ass at a game you love. But anyway, that's how the parents look at it. It's like, you little bastards.
I hope he's listening to this.
You little bastards.
He'd be sitting sleeping at the door like, oh, yeah, so that's what my dad really thinks of me.
I completely said that several times.
But so... there are different reasons to go back and play a game.
I think the NES, though, I think once you get to the NES, the mechanics of it can just link you on into a little bit longer of a game session.
Mario 3.
I have a good afternoon on that.
And again, I didn't own an NES.
Did you use
so
whistles?
Like you, I came to that later. I love Mario 3. I'm sorry. It's fucking awesome.
It's hard as balls.
Yeah, that's what's awesome about it.
Mario 2 guy, but...
Well, there's just two...
The Japanese version doesn't
running
say it.
Or you're jumping.
Yes, but...
And you should have been jumping when you were running.
But that's a really good classic game that I think you can play as well today as you could when it first came out in, what was that, 89?
Yep. I think so.
It was after when the Wizard showcased it, the movie The Wizard, because that's when they introduced Mario 3 as the final game.
Yes,
yeah, but you
was
have to play with a game glove. Yeah. Oh, yeah! Yeah, you had the power glove out.
Yeah.
You gotta, You'll kick ass.
But that's when they were introducing two products.
Yes. Okay, right now, that game still holds up today as well as it did when it first came out.
It looks,
I really do.
It looks fucking fantastic, too.
It does. You're right. You know, something else, graphically, it really doesn't look all that
It has
bad.
Not aged bad at all.
No. Oh, no, that's an interesting thing. Really,
do video games age?
And like Kavik said earlier, graphic-wise, some of, you know...
That wasn't even really a Mario game, you know.
Some games are designed that they don't, graphically, they don't age well. When they didn't do a really good job on the graphics to start with, and you can really notice it as the game gets older, especially early Polygon games.
I think
they really age badly.
I think games that depended. I think if a game depends on its graphics.
Yeah, block square Polygon heads.
Tekken Final Fantasy VII.
Shit.
Yeah, but that had better polygons.
And again, that wasn't necessarily about the graphics. There was story. There were characters. People got deeply involved.
Also, there was FMVs there. So
yeah.
I think if a game depends. On the graphics. I think if a game is shallow but depends on the graphics, it does well at that time. Like, take games like, oh, I'm going to get it for this one. Defender of the Crown. There's not a whole lot of depth to that game.
No.
It's done better in the future with better graphics, so there's not a good reason to come back to a game like Defender of the Crown. It looked great
when it came out.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Awesome.
It was like the most gorgeous game on the block.
The depth of the game sucked.
Yeah, it just wasn't there. It was a neat game. It had some neat hooks, but...
There were a lot of games at that time that had that.
So. Yeah, just didn't... It doesn't pull you, even...
The Three Stooges. Three Stooges, yeah. Great.
But
graphics.
You take a game like Food Fight, that just does not look that great. But
Food Fight is the
that
best.
Game, that game is epic. That's another one that I still come down and play every once in a while. I'll just bust down
okay,
here.
Wait a minute.
I gotta try a new controller with that
one. What system do you play it on?
I played on the 7800.
All right, all right.
Or what about Burger Time, too?
Burger Time's really
Burger
good, too.
Time. Thank you.
Especially
that's
if you got a decent
one.
Version.
Well, that's... that.
The ColecoVision version was absolutely phenomenal.
One, and the game was, like, it was not as easy as people think.
No, it's a tough action.
No, and that one despite what I said already, had actually poor... It was poor controls because it had no... slip on the. You had to be straight.
If you weren't right under that ladder, you were not going up to the next level. No, that's a good point.
There was no assist
Unlike the original Donkey. I'm sorry, the original. Donkey Kong. You had to. You could kind of be under the ladder one way or the other.
Yeah, you like your character kind of grass.
Yeah, but Burger Time, Burger Time, man, if you were not right. Centered on that ladder, you were going
all the way up. But the interesting aspect was it actually added weight, because if you actually had like more hot dogs or eggs or like whatever the hell those things were on there, they would actually weigh like
pickles.
The bun, pickles.
Yeah.
They would weigh down the bun and everything like that, so it would go further down and knock each.
Yeah.
So that was an injury that, like, it's like, whoa, they thought about that way back then. All right, cool.
But that was good game mechanics. Yeah. The graphics were designed fairly well for the time, and they still play well today.
It actually pretty decent in some ways.
On some systems, it sucked on it.
Dependent on control.
I primarily think of the arcade version, and I think it was.
No, I'm talking the home version. There were some good home versions of it. The 2600 version was not that particularly good. It actually sucked pretty bad.
It controlled okay though. It didn't have that going. For
yeah,
it.
But it, yeah, yeah. The, visually, the ColecoVision version was good. I don't think I've ever played the Intel. Television version.
I've got it around there also.
It was like on every system. That was the other thing about it.
Most games are really unplayable on
the Game Boy. Had a sweet version of it.
See, exactly. It was pretty much on every system, so.
In fact, I got rid of my Game Boy, but then I like still had the
Burger Time cartridge.
So then I got a Super Game Boy, so I could play it.
God, I love that thing.
Super Game Boy?
Oh, God, it's so good. It was such a good little thing for your Super Nintendo.
They had
good
games.
Yeah, they did actually. They really
did. Dude, Pokemon? You kidding me? Pokemon on that shit? I can play Pokemon on my TV with the little
side screen. Now, wait a minute. There's another classic example of a game that came out forever ago and still plays.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Just as well today as it did then.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Over 20 years
ago. Over 20 years ago. And I think you can pretty much pick up any of the Pokemon cartridges, even the early ones, from the Game Boy era. And they still play just fine.
Yeah,
what
I mean,
battery
replacement,
though.
Speed on that. Mm. Yeah.
What?
Battery replacement.
No, just go play it on your Retron 5. It doesn't care.
The old ones, save it on if the battery dies, then you don't get to save it anymore.
Yeah, well, you just change the battery out. Yeah,
it's just resoldering.
Yeah, again.
For somebody who's not, again, like Travis said, we're the outliers. For someone who's not going to be like, yeah, I'm going to bust this thing open on the side of this, on the side of this, on the side of this.
And obviously,
we're doing pretty good, actually, right now.
Since retro gaming is as popular as it is, I mean, it might be on a little bit of a decline, but it's still really popular. Obviously, these are games that people are buying and still playing. I mean,
hell, there's still systems that are on my I want list that I still want, you know, that I'm looking for, probably at Midwest Gaming Classic.
We're gonna be going crazy.
What?
NGC.
Oh yeah.
This is getting off topic. This is sliding off topic. But yeah, man.
You can't get all of the shoutouts.
Yeah, the MGC gets all our love. Trust me, they really get all.
And the best part, they love us back.
I know, and that's why we love them. It's not an unrequited love with them, like every other fucking con.
It's a straight, pure 69 of love.
No issues there. I got no issues there. Yeah, at least they reciprocate.
Yeah.
All right.
I love this show.
Platonically 69ing us.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Don't think about it too hard.
Is that like a Disney
don't
thing?
Don't think about it too
hard. Yeah, like puppet like people? Birds and shit.
Anywho.
I don't think, in general, when
a game came out, you know, doesn't necessarily preclude its funness.
In the future, yeah. I think...
And I'm going to extend it, because I got to tell you, when I first saw this topic come out, I actually really just focused in on video games. But, of course, you went a different direction.
I did.
And I started thinking about that, too, and there's plenty of... games in the board game world that are the same way.
That is actually almost the standard in the board game world.
You know,
there is classics that have been out since the dawn of time that still play in the board game world.
And
there's
still
nothing wrong with that. I feel
that's going to be the same in the video game world. Video game world may not have been around as long, but I think you're going to find these classics that people will always come back to.
You can tell that they're fucking re-releasing them on every console platform of the sun. Square Enix just put out Final Fantasy IX for Android. You get Final Fantasy Tactics for iOS and Android. You can get virtual stuff on Nintendo consoles from things past. Obviously, even it's PlayStation, very popular, and it's good business for those companies to re-release it.
No, because even PlayStation, now the development is done, you're basically, if you don't own the license, you buy a little licensing, and you're good to go, and you can start selling it again.
PlayStation now does that with
PlayStation's a little bit better with their licensing, though. You don't need to buy it on each new damn console. But anyway, I gotta start this.
But they're like releasing the old Crash Bandicoot and stuff
Xbox,
like that,
which is great.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, they have started bringing some of my 360 games are now.
I've talked a few times about not playing my Xbox. Well, now the Ticket to Ride has moved from the 360. I use my video game system to play a board game. That's fun. So that's nice. But hey, it's getting used.
Did you get the Rare Collection?
I bought everything there was for the Xbox One.
The
Xbox One Rare Collection for $30
is really, really a steal.
How many games you get?
You get
a lot. 30,
I
think. I've been playing the hell out of it.
Banjo-Kazooie.
Hell no, jetpacks on that bitch. Yeah. Just jump on jetpack and play
you
all damn day.
All of these really great Rare games. Normally stuff you wouldn't be able to play on an Xbox or a Microsoft console.
You mean Rare, the company?
Rare. Oh, yeah. Back then when they were working with Nintendo and dominating.
And it's just called,
Rarity
Packs?
No,
Rare. Rare Collection.
The Rare Collection,
yeah.
Yeah, everything but their Nintendo stuff because, pricks.
Well, they still had not the Nintendo IP stuff, but Banjo-Kazooie.
But a lot of great stuff's out there. Yeah,
and that's now.
No, it's there is no question. If there.
Now we would go back and play Donkey Kong? Yes.
If there's any question in your mind about the Rare Collection, just get it.
But that's another good classic example of a game that's held up. Donkey Kong Country is still.
It still shows up at parties all the time.
Yeah, it's a great game. So, anybody else, anything else to add on that? I mean, I think the general consensus is, games.
I don't ever think there was going to be any argument on that. But I think it's really interesting to kind of get into the reasons why,
There's some people who think old games have no worth. I mean, there are people
who think they're wrong.
Are dumb. Yes.
Well, you know,
they're usually missing a few teeth.
Yeah, where did you hear
that? Well, wrong. He went
with
dumb.
Wait a minute, though. Wait a minute,
though. They're dumb and wrong.
There is, and some of it's just like advertising a little bit, but I mean, there is a bit of a phenomena. There's a reason there's a new release wall when there were video stores. Oh, there still is one. Their Family Video still exists.
Yes, they do.
You know? But they have a new release wall, and how much time do people spend on the new release wall instead of like the like standard collection? And there's probably a bazillion movies they haven't seen in that, so they're all new to them. But they don't bother looking at any of those.
Because they're old,
you know. It's an old movie. I'm not going to go look at an old movie, you know. But it's new to you, you know.
Old movies so, on Netflix.
Yeah, thank God for Netflix.
And
their bad movie collections.
Oh, they've
So I kind of think the same thing kind of with video games or games. I mean, if it isn't the thing that's being talked about in, you know, magazines.
I think that's the younger crowd, though. I would say that probably scales down either to the guy who just got something new for Christmas, older guy who may have gotten a 20-something or a 30-something who just got a game system for Christmas, really wasn't a gamer to start with, or maybe he's just getting into gaming, or a young kid who's 12 or 13.
Yeah, that's what I was trying
to say. Well, and part of it is you just don't know, which is where, and I'm just going to throw a shameless plug out here for one of our friends. Retro Game Magazine would come in handy because then they are talking about those games that were popular in 1988 that maybe are still fun now, you know, that maybe you might want to check out.
And
you just don't
know. IGN is another good place to check for those too. So they always have, they've got great
Retro
lists.
Magazine's actually pretty good.
Retro Magazine's amazing.
I know we'll probably get some hate because last time we mentioned anything to do with that particular group, we got hate mail, but. You know, right?
From
the
labor.
Oh, no!
Oh, no!
Stop mentioning us on your show!
God! Every time!
Trump jerks in Wisconsin keep talking
about our magazine!
Stock prices are plummeting!
Stock prices?
We have stock?
Who the hell did that?
Now it's plummeting?
All right, so Rob, shall we take... Should take a break before we come
back? Yeah, we're going to take about a 5-minute break for those of you who are watching us on the YouTubes or listening to us on the whatever the heck that thing is. And all the podcast listeners who are listening to us on Android, which is the vast majority, apparently, according to our numbers.
Really?
Yeah.
We got a lot of robots.
I'm kind of surprised about that, actually, evidently.
A lot of robots out there, you Android boys. And gals, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, and gal.
Well, you're drumming through your day at work. Bring us along. That's nice.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to take a 5-minute break. Those of you on Periscope can watch.
Actually, it could be longer.
Crazy,
you know what? I think I'll
take
the camera with us out to the smoking lounge.
Shut up. I'm Drunken Larry, and you're watching G2B.
Welcome back to the podcast that never sleeps, Guys, Games, and Beer.
I need sleep.
I want a nap.
Coffee now. I have a piece of popcorn on my sweater.
I threw it there.
Bastard.
All right, so Rob, what is the second half of the show about?
It is about...
More of the same.
Not really more of the same. No.
It's about Morrissey.
Pretty much with us, it's more of the same. But it's Morrissey. We're going to talk about Morrissey for the second half of the podcast.
Oh, the lead singer of Time?
Sure. I know nothing about Morrissey, except for the word.
That's not Morrissey.
Morris Day?
Oh, that was Morris Day.
Oh. You want to talk about Morris Dancers?
Hey, you guys got to close.
Morris Code?
I got to close it down.
Morris Law?
Oh, God. Every 2 years. Continue, please, Rob.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about retro games that we have recently discovered. That old game that you have found that's so great that you got to tell the world about it.
So good.
So good.
Okay. So
we got to start allowing call-ins on Skype.
Okay. So with this one being...
Really?
Yeah, we should.
No, we
right
should.
Now.
Because 4chan's
Let's put
go
the
nuts.
Number out there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But so this could be an old game that you've rediscovered that you had originally, or possibly an old game that you just picked up and all of a sudden it's like, holy crap, this is really not bad for an old game.
Yeah, I'm going with the latter.
Okay, so am I actually, but continue.
Or is that the former? I can never get those right. The former's the first one, right?
Right.
Yes. The latter. Yeah, the latter.
All
right. Good. I got that right. Thank you. thank you for that correction.
Latter. All right, so.
This is like your area of expertise. All right,
let's start with you, Larry. How about an old game that you found? Have you recently picked up any old games and said, hey, wow, I forgot how good this game was and purchased it or something?
I'm going to go with the latter. Or the former now, but
all right,
the latter
something
before.
You had and got again.
The
Simplest. Sorry.
Well, I've gone back to playing. You know, we were talking all kinds of Amigas, so I was inspired to go back and play some Lemmings.
Ooh,
and nice. And it's a fun game. Kind of hard to get now. I have found there is a new version of this game for the PlayStation. What's the handheld one? The
Vita.
Vita. Yeah.
The Vita has a game?
Yes. And it's free right now if you're...
Hey, all right, the Vita program. Market is actually very popular in Japan. Not
yes,
Japan,
if you have a Vita...
Japan, if you're in Japan.
If you have a Vita... Popular in the Xbox. And you are a plus, you can get this game right now free. You can get Lemmings. And basically the idea of Lemmings, if you don't know anything about it, you know, you all know the legend of the lemmings that, you know, follow each other. They run into the sea, right? So the game is a puzzle game, and the lemmings all start off at the top, and they are basically all running to their death. And your job is to save as many of them as possible by giving a lemmings a single job. Now, it will do that job till it's death. But...
Wow, how fun is that? Sounds like real life to me.
There are a few jobs that they could survive. Like the diggers can survive the digging and that, but the crossing guards, they die.
There's no going back from
they're just
from being
a stopping guard.
Yep.
Yeah,
and is a
dynamite,
job.
You know, there's
if you're the guy who's got a
but so there's all these different job positions that are available to you, and you, during the course of the game, have to choose a lemmings and give them a job so that the lemmings will either go the other way or they'll be redirected in some fashion
to avoid running to the water,
either down or they might run into a pit of fire, or they might run into water, or they might drop from a height that would kill them all. You know, so there's lots of ways to kill lemmings, and you have to prevent them from. You know, there's many as the killing. I think you usually get 100 of them. And the idea is to save as many of them as you can.
Now, this is not actually a retro version of Lemmings. I played it. Actually, I have played it. It's one of the few games I played on the Vita.
I think they had like a 3D element to it or something like that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it feels born for a touchscreen. That is an old game that feels like it was born to be a touchscreen game. It works really well on a touchscreen.
Yeah, you're placing things in certain positions, so I can see where that would.
Yeah, it's really quite good.
Well, and I don't know if maybe the new game maybe doesn't do this, but you know they stream. They're sort of like a stream.
Yeah.
So there's this like time element that you have to work fast because they are just moving.
Yeah, they're trying to kill themselves. They're really working hard to kill themselves.
And even if you
grinders,
go, even if
everything.
You go like, okay, stop to make them go the other way, because if you put in a stopping guard, they run into them and then they just go the other direction. Well. When you put a stop, 10 of them might have gotten by you.
By the time,
by the time you make that decision in that, and they've plummeted to their death, you know?
Great game.
That is
it really was.
Game.
And the original Lemmings was good. So, but again, that's a good old game.
It's tough to get, like, a newer version of it, though. It's pretty much, if you gonna play it, you gotta go back to, like, an Amiga ROM or something
like
that.
Can you get
that,
it? I think you can get it on the iPad, too, can't you? It was on the SNES, definitely.
On the SNES, okay. Yeah, I don't remember it on the SNES.
I got it.
Which makes sense, though. 16-bit era.
That's one of
the
few
So that makes sense. So maybe that's one to look for at, on your
That Midwest Gaming Classic.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people know it. So it's a game that was very famous at one time, and not everybody who's into retro gaming's actually heard of it. Only
but it was big in the UK.
Timers.
Was it originally Psygnosis?
Psygnosis,
yep.
Yeah.
Better titles.
Yeah.
I love Signosis.
Again, really big over the UK. Very popular there. So Signosis is a British company. All right, Travis, how about you?
So I really haven't been like, I was trying to think, like, I'm sure there's a
you
few.
You've picked up a bunch of old stuff lately.
Yeah, and like I collect a lot of retro stuff, but I've been really getting into the trend of like trying games I put down like a couple of years ago. I might have bought it when it was new or tried it. And it's kind of an interesting trend, and I don't know how exactly I feel about it, but, like, games that release that are, you know, online functionality, or they get passed down the line. For example, I've been huge into playing MechWarrior Online lately. It sucked when it came out. It had a lot of balance issues, didn't play well, and I was like, okay, I didn't really ever want to play it again, and I came back, you know, 3 years later, 2012 to 2015, and it's an entirely different game, and it's a lot of fun. I love playing it all the time now. I'm like, I'm absolutely addicted to it. So it's like, it's kind of weird. Like, I'm really trying hard to kind of go back and be like, looking at like what I used to play in the past. I'm like, I think this is worth a revisit. And I'm like, it's games I already own, so I don't have to like buy anything new, which is kind of nice. And another one I've been playing a lot, Diablo 3. I bought it when it came out. I think we played for like 3 days straight. We made it in line.
We have hated on that game a bunch.
Yeah, on this show.
Yeah, on the show.
Yeah.
Earlier episodes. So they've redeemed themselves?
I mean, like, obviously they had the new expansion. That's when people kind of started to come back. But I was like, there's a lot of good content. It feels a lot more like Diablo 2. The loot system's a lot better. And it's just like a lot more fun to play.
They took out that market.
Feeling great. Exactly. They took out the real life money market, shit like that. And I went back to it about a week and a half ago after I had another friend who started playing it, and he's been playing it like crazy. And I absolutely love playing it. I probably sunk like 20 hours into it in the past like week or two.
Over it.
So it's again, it's really interesting. And again, it's something that's like I own. It's sitting on my shelf. I've got the big collector's box sitting on my shelf.
Which that USB drive you need to bring to your work?
Oh no. Yeah.
Yes.
Basically, the collector's edition came with a little sculpt. It had Diablo's head, and it has the soul stone in his head. It's a USB stick that has Diablo 2 on it.
Nice. Oh, okay, that is
kind
of cool.
Yeah,
well, it's things. I wish we had been doing YouTube at that
it's
point.
It's been sitting on my shelf. I know it exists, yeah. But until I saw somebody else playing it, I'd be like, oh yeah, this is a game that I have, and it looks pretty good, and it looks like a shade. Like, until I saw somebody else play it, I was like, holy crap, I own this. Let me give it another try. It was really worth playing. I had a lot of fun. So I played it. I picked up the new expansion for it. I'm absolutely loving it. And it's really interesting to kind of go back and after a game. And again, this really applies mainly to newer games that are updated online, things like that, or changed. And again, it's a mixed bag. I don't necessarily like the fact that when a game comes out, it can suck, and then later it's good. It's really kind
of... That's kind of world of Steam now.
Yeah, it's a little disjointed. But, I mean, the fact is it's nice to be able to say, oh, I already own this game, I don't have to spend any more money, and now I'm coming back, and it's actually it's a good game that I really like and enjoy.
Sometimes it feels like you got to re-download the game, because it's like, I've got 8,000 patches to go through.
I have 50 meg internet. I don't know if it doesn't matter to me. I download games in minutes.
Yeah. Yes. I do encourage shopping in your own store. Sometimes that's a really good idea.
Like, what do you mean?
We're shopping.
But exactly what you did.
Oh, it's like going through your shelves.
Yeah, going through your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the price of
Byron. Shopping in your own store.
That's the price of Byron.
How is your Steam store running, Rob?
You know, it's home stay at 1,000-something.
No, he's just got a bunch of inventory to give to, like, each of one of us for, like,
it's like for
game.
Eternity.
Yeah, for, like, eternity.
I got games for you guys.
How about you, Noob?
Well, I thank you for Forge and Halo Spartan Assault. I do have those downloaded.
That game is actually really good.
I know it is.
Yeah.
But, like, games that I've...
An old game that you would revisit, came back to, purchased again.
Or purchase for the first time. In
yeah.
Game. Well, the first time was like actually with Rob. It was Zombies Revenge.
For the Dreamcast?
For the Dreamcast.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was back then when I was like a little kid and stuff like that. I was popping quarters into Zombies Revenge on the arcade machine and stuff like that. Where at the bowling alley in Union Grove, and like me and my buddies like sunk so many quarters into this damn zombie beat 'em up game that we loved so much. And it was only it was like one of the cheaper ones instead of like the racing ones. Well, I was like looking around that one time where we spent like an hour at New Wave.
Yeah, we were there forever.
We were there forever, and I was definitely picking it up, and I picked it up again, and it's one of those games where it's just like I have like a huge like nostalgia boner for, basically. I love the game so much, and like I got my friend Ryan, who me and him both have a love for zombies or any zombie game because we just think it's just stupid fun. And I had him play the game, and he's like, "What the hell is this? This is amazing!" He loved the game so much. I was like, "Oh yeah, it's like a really good 3D zombie beat 'em up game." So when it comes to like games like that, I guess I have like more a nostalgia factor that like.
But that's a perfectly good reason to go back to a game.
Mm-hmm. So same reason why I still have never beaten Mario 3, but I still go back to the game every once in a while just to beat the damn thing.
I'm gonna find that game.
So you never owned it on the Dreamcast, but you played it a lot in the arcade.
I played it a lot in the arcade.
So was the port on the Dreamcast a good?
I'm gonna bet it was a good port.
It's the same game.
Okay. Yeah, it's the same game.
It's almost like a Dynamite Cop style.
It's literally like
the same engine.
It's
best game ever, by the way.
It's literally just like pretty much an arcade port of the game.
Nice.
Really quick second interjection. Japanese only. It's called Dynamite Deca 2, which is Dynamite Cop. It's Dynamite Cop, but way more the fuck over the top. Just fucking fucking ridiculous.
I mean, you're beating people with people?
With swordfish and shit. Like, yeah, again, like Dynamite Cop had a really like some weird weapons and stuff. But it's called Dynamite Deca, Deka, 2.
Oh, Joan and I are gonna play that.
Yeah, it's
It's Japanese only.
Is it a beat 'em up too?
It's a beat 'em up. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, isn't it like by the same people who made Die Hard the beat 'em up game too?
But okay, so basically there is a version of Die Hard. It's called Die Hard Arcade, which became Dynamite Cop because of licensing, regional licensing issues. So Die Hard Arcade and Dynamite Cop, there are versions of it that are pretty much the same game.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you know, take out the John McClane shit. Yeah.
I totally played that. Though. That game was fucking awesome!
Dynamite Cop is like...
Especially running through the halls and it's like, press kick or jump.
But the second one went out the window with ridiculousness, and I highly recommend you try it. It's hilarious.
All right, Newbat, how about you?
What?
Beer?
Oh, wow. She's
wow, you really haven't listened to anything we've been talking about, right?
No, I was, but I don't exactly have anything because, like...
What are you talking about? All the games I bought for you and stuff?
Well,
yeah, you bought them.
I've talked about them, like, how often, though? Like, everybody knows...
What about the games I bought for you on Steam? You've never talked about those ones yet.
Like what ones? Wolf Among Us?
No.
Yeah, I have.
No, not those ones. Okay.
All right,
I bought her Roller Coaster Tycoon.
That's
a good one. That's one to go back.
Okay,
All three of them.
Exciting. Okay. That was like a fun game to play, especially like when you would make the roller coasters and stuff, or you would like take people and you would trap them in line, even though they didn't want to go to your coaster. You're like, too bad, you're going on my coaster.
No bathroom, so like, and you're trapped in line.
No, so you like pick them up and you like put them in the tent.
What, really?
So that they're forced to ride the roller coaster.
You leave me? You didn't leave me.
Oh, we didn't get to you yet.
That's it.
We didn't get to you yet.
No, I was giving you the fist.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, what platformer?
That's it.
Those are.
Now you're taking the
fist.
Yeah, we got
it on
Steam.
But that's the Roller Coaster Tycoon games are a brilliant game.
You could make your own goddamn roller coasters or death coasters.
I looked for it, but they didn't have it. I think my favorite ones were the Zoo Tycoon ones.
Oh,
like whenever you got to make your own aquariums and stuff like that.
Bullfrog, right?
My brother would actually take
Bullfrog Entertainment.
People and feed them to the lions and the sharks.
Of course! Yeah, because they got no money to buy souvenirs, use the bathrooms.
And that, it also cuts the cost down of feeding your animals, so it's great.
There's a really sweet one. It's called Jurassic Park Operation Genesis.
Yep, I've
make your own Jurassic Park.
Whoa. Okay, that's a good one too.
Can you like wrap it on PC?
Where's that at?
They got it on which consoles? I forget exactly.
See,
I just know it exists. I heard there's so many people talking about it lately. It's just like one of the ones that people are.
No PC.
I'm sure it's on the PC. Let me take a look.
Man, with the clicky nerd.
Talk.
Yeah.
All right, Ben, you're up.
How if I know, dude? Last game I talked about that I'd like to pick up again.
Oh. PC, Xbox, PlayStation 2.
Nice. World Cup for the NES.
And
solid sports game. But my oldest brother is super good at the game. And I'd like to challenge him again because I was a wee tyke playing him and I was like, alright, dude, you're probably still gonna stomp my face in because you have so many more, like, right away you were always playing that game. He stomped my face in GoldenEye several times, because I was never good at that game, but it was, for me, it's the nostalgia factor of the brother connection of back in the day video games brought us together. So that's why I want to get good.
Another.
And then I want to do what Rob does and train for an hour before I play him. So I'm warmed up. So I
yes. You know what's so funny about that? So my dad recently went to a pool hall with his buddy and played, like, I don't know, 3 hours of pool. And it was just, his buddy wanted to train because his brother was coming into town. And he always beats him at pool.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my revenge.
Perfectly good reason.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it didn't work. He
his brother kicked his ass anyway.
12 of 12.
So, yeah. Couldn't even get a lucky break.
Couldn't even get a lucky break.
That is sad.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like we all had that revenge.
So I'm gonna break the genre a little bit. I'm gonna go back to old school board game. That's really not it's a board game per se. We had we did and what kind of got my issue going on this again is we've talked about games where you play against the board. And I remembered an old one, and we talked about, well, was this really one when you play against board? And yeah, definitely qualified. So we talked about it on the show. You know, oh, damn, I need a copy of that again. So I did a little hunting around and found a copy of it. Careful, this is not in good condition.
You wanted just the top box?
You can pick the whole box? You can take the whole box and buy the camera and show them the whole box.
Two cameras, buddy. Two
you
cameras.
Get it first, guys.
Wow, you're going to show the parents? Yeah, because they're actually watching us live. The Dark Tower was a game that came out in 81, 82?
Something close.
But it was basically at the height of the Dungeons & Dragons craze. And it has that a great feel. But better yet, it's a solid board game. It's a really good piece of board game. Okay, bring that back over here.
You're scared now.
I am actually. It's you are touching it. Don't touch the damn game.
Don't touch my Dark Tower.
I have not had a chance to fix the box up yet. It's split and it needs a little work. But after a little bit of work, I actually bought this. This was an early computerized game. Go ahead and bring that up. Show it on the camera. It's just a good, solid playing game. If you like your basic adventure game, you're wandering around the board trying to collect up keys to get into the Dark Tower to defeat the wizard, and you start out with a group of warriors, but the tower does all the work for you. So basically, it does all your scoring. It does all your moves. You just basically tell it what you're doing on the board.
Did you get a sense that... Now, you said you didn't play it back in the day.
No.
But did you get a sense if you sat down as an adult, you would get a kick out of it?
Oh, no, dude. We are going to have a Let's Play on this because you will get a kick out of it. It's just a great game to play.
Never seen anything like it, that's for sure.
Well, the reason I ask is I have crossbows and catapults.
Yeah.
About the same time period. Love the game.
Played that one
so
too.
So many levels. But I just don't feel like I can, like, grab another adult and go, let's play crossbows and catapults.
Oh, no, this one you can grab a room full
that'll
of adults
be our split show.
And play the crap out of it. Believe me, it's just, it plays great. It's just a good, solid game. And again, part of it was the cleverness they did on the artwork and everything. I mean, so this is pre-LCD days. This is LED technology. So to get the displays going for the characters, what they did is they used the little lit windows and it lights up. I mean, oh gosh, nothing has happened yet. Let me see if I can have an attack here.
There's one blinking.
Yeah, well, it's telling me I'm doing moves and nothing. I've had no encounters. There's an encounter.
Oh, that's awesome! And that's full color!
Yeah, exactly! So to do it, they had these little... it's basically got a big wheel.
So it's basically
around.
like they show you stained glass windows.
Yes, exactly! But the artwork is very cool. It was it's very, you know, whoever the artist was fairly decent. But they did other art for Mattel at the same time. They're just all sorts of cool stuff. Let's see, let's go to the bazaar.
And real action sounds!
And again, you love those 80s sounds.
Oh, I miss that.
Alright, so he's offering me warriors for 7. I'm going to haggle, because I don't want to buy him for 7. 6, what do you think, 6? Or should I haggle one more time?
Haggle again!
Oh, heck, I'm down to 5, okay. Hey, I'm going to buy some warriors. 1,
will they tell you
2,
yourself?
3,
pay me
4,
nine.
Oh yeah, they will. They'll just close the bazaar. It says bazaar closed, and you're done. Alright, and we'll go, that's it, I'll take 4 warriors.
That was the F-U.
And now I got 3 gold.
Bazaar closed!
But it was really a very cool game. It's basically early computerized games. It's, vintage 80s, really kind of hard to find.
Well, I've looked for different board games on like eBay and stuff like that. old board games can be pricey.
They can be pricey.
You know
that is the issue. They really can get pricey, and so.
Well, is it pricey because it's like this is in mint condition? If it's rare condition,
it doesn't just tears
down very quickly.
No, man,
this is like $20. This thing is ratchet.
No,
if it's at all playable. It's pretty expensive.
Exactly. That's the price shoots up. As long as everything's there, the price shoots right the heck up.
Yeah.
So they,
White time.
This one I bought, this one's not working. I got it sub 100 non-working. So I had to repair it and everything. But that's still sub, when I say sub 100, I mean just a little bit below 100 non-working.
Non-working. Yeah.
That being said, if you've got one of these in really good condition, $500. So, right. Yeah, you ain't kidding. The board game's going.
So, you just have like a $500 game sitting there.
Up to $500. This one's not worth $500. The box is not in good shape, but it's worth about $250 to $300-ish.
So now that it's working.
No, see, it's not really worth that. It's what people are willing to pay for.
That's what makes it worth that.
Worth that much, because they are.
But only at that moment. It's at the moment of the sale, then it's worth this much.
Yeah, and it could go down. I mean...
The registration card actually goes to, like, a person.
This is vintage 80s. So,
contact Bill?
No, it's got... Gene
Lewis.
Gene Lewis.
Let's go write Gene Lewis.
And Milton Bradley. So, yeah, so that's the cool thing. Personal thanks from Milton Bradley for trying our product. Yeah. Now, if you like it or dislike it, tell us about it. Probably not. But, yeah, like you said, the cool thing is that it's actually...
He was an intern.
Well, in that case, he loses probably
a lot. Thumbs up on MySpace. No.
and probably watching right now.
Yeah.
On Periscope.
But, again, a very cool piece of kit. And
maybe
was,
I'll give...
So that was one, again, we talked about, and I thought, God, that really was... And went out and found a copy of it and got it up and going and got it running again. And we will...
It's
again,
still fun.
It really is. The game plays... Because the tower does all the work for you and you're just moving around the board and it keeps all your stats and scores, how much food you have, what you can carry, the whole nine yards. So the computer's doing all that computation for you. And you're just kind of going through the game. And that was kind of nice. So it's a kind of a loosely D&D-based game. Because, again, this was during the height of the D&D craze.
It looks like a D&D.
Oh, no. It was it very intentionally. I mean,
are you trying to basically, you're on the outside and you're trying to get
into the tower? Have to get the right keys, the right combination.
I think there is a re-envisioning of this game, but without the tower. I'm pretty sure I played it recently, and it's like a newer game, but without the tower. But I think the tower adds to the charm.
The tower is the game in this one. All right, how about you,
Dark Tower?
It is the Dark Tower.
All right, I'm gonna go back to early PC gaming. It's a game I've been playing for a couple weeks now, called Arctic Adventure. It's by Apogee. It was during their platformer stage, so it is indeed just a Yeah, the same people that did Duke Nukem, yep. And became 3D Realms later on. This is just your basic platformer. It's actually a sequel to an earlier game whose name escapes me right now, but that was...
It's Escape Me.
Yeah, it's called Escape Me. But it is basically a very basic platformer. It's not a Mario-based platformer. It's kind of more old school than that because of the...
What's more old school than Mario?
Oh, pretty much everything.
Oh, yeah, there's old school, yeah. There's pre-controlling your jumps games. This is not, however. It moves slower like older games do. Not as fast as Mario does.
Like
or
Pitfall?
But you basically start out, you've actually got a map, a top map. And you go
like,
in.
Like Keystone Cop.
Yeah, exactly.
Keystone Cop?
And then you basically...
So you know where the bad guys are.
You go into one of your little Arctic caverns, and each one of those is kind of a platform puzzler where you pick up gold and treasures, and you basically try to escape the level. It is a devilish game, though. Mother Apper, they must have spent a lot of time on those levels just making them the biggest bastard of a game ever. In fact, I've got a video where I just fast-forward
20
minutes of play because it's nothing but me dying and swearing.
Wow.
I'm going to say that Rob's super pissed because he said Mother Effer.
Yeah, he did, actually.
Or MFer or whatever he did, but he shorthanded it. He's
mad
at that game. M-Effer. I'm not even going to give you the rights of curses.
But anyway, this game is CGA. Absolutely no sound card required. It didn't have a sound card. It's CGA. Obviously you can get it on Steam.
CGA.
Not VGA.
Not VGA. No. Not EGA.
Color graphics adapter.
Four colors for you kids out there. Four colors for this game. Black it's out of a palette of 16, though, guys. So yeah, it's not not savages here. But that game is—it's really good. You know, honestly, for it really explains why Apogee ended up doing so well as a game company, because it's got good controls. It's difficult, not too difficult. It's that old chapter format where there's like four different chapters of it. Obviously, the first one's freeware, and then the other four you buy. It's available on Steam.
Really?
At this time. Through DOSBox.
Oh, it wasn't its original format.
No.
That's its format now.
Yeah,
but no.
Its original format was on a floppy or downloaded PDF.
You bought the whole game and, you know, you didn't buy chapters.
No, you didn't.
No, you could buy chapters. Originally. You would get the first chapter for free and then you buy the other chapters.
Well, like in a demo disc?
Sure. It used to happen all the time in the late 80s, early 90s. That was
It's interesting because they threw DOSBox set up
already, or was it, let's see how many people grab this and then all four chapters?
They was ready to take your money.
Yeah, I suspect they were ready, yeah.
Like, that model's pretty old.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Doom did that.
Yeah.
It was one of the most famous of it. In fact, that Doom itself overloaded their BBS.
Right, originally when they first started. I remember when that game first came out.
That was one of the first internet downloads.
So you only had
games too, and it brought the internet
to the first level. And then
I didn't jump on Doom right away.
Play, but yeah.
Yeah, it was like
chapters.
Chapters. I thought Duke Nukem the side scroller. It was like Apogee did it.
It's actually around the same time period.
Did a ton.
Except Duke Nukem was EGA. Which was a much far superior. All of them were inferior to a Commodore 64 that was like 10 years older, but whatever.
Right.
Yeah, all right. So excellent
PC sucked in the 80s.
It did. It really did.
And
the early 90s. It wasn't until 95.
95.
Think about this. 1992, CGA was competing with an Amiga and was like twice the price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did they win? I ask myself constantly.
It's called
mismanagement.
And the fact that IBM couldn't protect their patents.
Yeah,
that they lost in court, and all the clones were able to produce endless amounts of those systems.
Oddly enough,
that
actually helped them.
Clone War.
Yeah, there was.
Did the Jedi return?
The Clone Wars. Unfortunately, the Jedi did not return, and the clones won.
The clones won.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're living in a Sith world.
Yes. Yes. Welcome to
yes,
Sith
we are. All right. So, Rob, I suppose that pretty well wraps this episode of G2BO.
It does indeed wrap this episode up. For those of you watching on YouTubes and listening to the podcast, thank you very much for listening. For those of you on
Click
Periscope.
Click subscribe. If you're on YouTube, click subscribe. We are only like 10
shameless subscribe.
We are like 10 people away from getting our own URL on YouTube.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We're going to get
we already have our own.
So by the
but
way,
still we do. If you just go /guysgamesandbeer, you get there.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Sorry about that.
Oh, never mind. See?
We're 10 away from
dumb
the
now.
Okay, well, 10 away from the movie theater, so we should
movie
get
theater size
10 more.
Yep. Yeah, so check us out on YouTube.
Still downside.
There is no downside because we're so damn pretty.
We are pretty.
And even if you don't like us, there's still no downside.
Subscribe.
Send us some hate mail.
Sometimes they see Rob's crotch.
In fact,
subscribe gives you the right to send us hate mail.
Yeah.
And beer.
No beer.
Yeah. Those of you, thank you very much for watching on Periscope. I noticed we have a few more listeners today on Periscope.
Second week doing
you.
So thanks for watching us live. We will be back next week, Tuesday at 6 p.m. Central Time. Same bat channel. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, where we've got just scads of Facebook friends. www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer for your chance to win free games on a pretty consistent basis. We do weird news stories, things that are going on in the G2B universe. Yes, we have an entire universe now because Nintendo sued us for World. Fuckers.
They got their hands on
I'd
jobs.
Rather have the universe.
Oh, the universe, yeah.
Check us out on Twitter. That is @GuysGamesBeer. And, of course, check us out on our website, www.guysgamesandbeer.com. guysgamesnet.net.
And check us out now on Periscope.
Yes, and if you have questions, don't forget, ask at Guys, Games, and Beer. We might read your stuff on the air. Next week, we will probably have Skype online during the podcast so you can maybe chat with us online.
Weird foot stuff.
So get your swears ready.
No weird foot stuff.
Oh, yeah, please, no weird foot stuff.
Foot stuff.
Yeah, the foot
tiny
stuff.
Tiny naked man. Oh, stuff. Yeah, and no, what happened to you? Shrink. None of that stuff, okay?
You are the best listeners ever, however. Thanks for watching, Guys, Games, and Beer. Catch you next week.
Yeah!